we're going to do today a little more Bekitzer, Simon Kuf Vav and Kuf Zayin. If you open the beginning of Simon Kuf Vav, brings down the Shulchan Aruch brings down one side, the machlok between the Torah and the Rashba. A machlok is bechlal not relevant for us Ashkenazim. Right? What happens if Atichas Boleya Isser? So, according to Ashkenazim, the Chaticha becomes Chanan, it all counts as treif. According to Sfardim, the Chaticha does not count, does not become Chanan. So, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, we know Simon Kuf Vav, Chaticha Shebole, a serve in Bashish and Levat, right? You have a Chaticha that's a 10-ounce Chaticha, which is Bolea, 1 ounce of lard. Shenafel Kedera, if it falls into the Kedera, so we know, for Ashkenazim, it would count as Chanan 10, so you'd need 600 to be Mevatlet. But for Sfardim, Ein Oseres El Lefi Cheshbon Isser Shabbat, it doesn't all count as Isser to Asher this new, this Kedera that it falls into, only the proportion of Isser that's within it. Shem Yesh Mashem Kedera, Matsur, Vim Chatika Atma, Shish, I'm going to get Isser, Abba Luba, Motor Mashem Kedera, that if the rest of the food, including the carrying piece, also counts from the bottle, the rest of the food, including the carrier, has 60 times as much as the Isser inside, then everything is, the rest of the pot is mutter. Okay, that's fairly pashut if you don't hold kanan b'shari surin. What would the fi cheshvan be? So just if you actually have to work it out, the one way to figure out would be just how much isser was nivla in there. But what if you had at 1 o'clock, here's a piece of meat, here's a kadera, if there is 300, here's the isser, which is 10, and here's a 30-ounce piece of meat. So, how much isser tastes? Then, that same, at 2 o'clock, that same 30-ounce piece of meat was accidentally put into, right? This is all treif. 10 out of 300 is all treif. That same 30-ounce piece of meat was actually put in your next chill into 2 o'clock. So how much would you need to be mevatelet? Maximum, you'd need 600, 60 times 10. So there can't be more isser than there was isser. But would you need 600? How much would you need? 40. What? 10 out of 340. Okay, let's make it simpler. This is 300 including the 30, let's say. Yeah, so then you'd need, how much would you need to be mevatelet? You'd only need, very interestingly, 30 besides the chaticha, I think. Because if you look at that, it's 1/30th isser. So the vichesh, but the isser spreads out equally. So this piece is only 1/30th isser. So the most it has is, right, 1/30th, 10 out of 300, is 1 ounce of isser. If it falls in with 1 ounce of isser, you only need 30 ounces of soup, plus the chaticha itself counts as 60 to 1 to be mevatelet. So that's the example of the power of the cheshvan. Not only don't you need 60 connected the chaticha, it's enough to have 60 connected the isser. You don't even need 60 connected the isser. You only need 60 connected however much that isser is in the chaticha. So if the whole isser lands on the chaticha, you need 60 connected it. But if it diffused, you only need 60 connected whatever proportion of the chaticha is traced. So it's very easy to mevatel this according to Sfardim. We're not up to that yet. But that's talking about the 1, not the 10. Ashkenazim, of course, would need 1,800 besides the chaticha. Right? Because of Chanan. Right? Like we had in Rashi and Mishnah Parsha, Meruba, Midas, Hatova, Osvardin, Midas, Koranis of Ashkenazim by a factor of 60. Okay, almost as much as Rashi mentions about Hashem's Parsha. Okay. The question is, let's say we're Sfardim and we talk about Bittul B'Shishim. What would happen to this chaticha itself, this 30? Remember, this is a chaticha of 30 with an atom. They're referring to the 1 inside. Right? It's a chaticha of 30. Let's make red a good isser color, right? With 1 isser inside it. There's 1 isser inside it, that chaticha of 30. So that's Bittul B'Shishim. What happens to that chaticha, though? That's a machlokes between the Torah and the Rashba. The Torah says the chaticha itself goes back and becomes mutter. Why? Because the treif bliya only got into the chaticha through bishul, So the treif bliya comes out of the chatichah through bishul, comes out of the chatichah, spreads evenly throughout the whole pot, and it's this batel b'shishim. In with bishul, out with bishul. Again, don't misunderstand the tur. The tur doesn't mean that if you put a piece of pork into your chum, all the taste will go out. Because that taste was naturally present in the pork. The tur means if lard gets nivla into a piece of chicken, that lard only got nivla into the chicken through cooking. So if you then cook the chicken again, the lard will come out of the chicken and diffuse evenly throughout the whole pot, and the chicken will become mutter again. That's the sheet of the tur. We don't hold like the tur, we hold like the Rashba. The Rashba says, let's review for a second. Here is, remember we have 30 and another 30, right? So the tur says, here's the metzias according to the tur, and here's the din according to the tur. Where did that one iser go according to the tur? It spreads out evenly, right? I think that's called diffuses. So you have one half in the chaticha, that's a 1/2 to 30 ratio, and you have 1/2 ounce in the rotev for a 1/2 to 30 ratio, so everything is mutter. Right, so it diffuses throughout. The question is, what's the machlokas between the Rashba, what did the Rashba say? The chaticha stays osur. But is the Rashba arguing on the metzias? Or is he arguing on the lumbus? Can you read the screen? What? Okay, great. So what's the logic of the Rashba? So what are the two ways to interpret the logic of the Rashba? What did the Mechaber say? Let's read the Mechaber. Avol ha-chaticha atzma asura. The Rashba says, we hold like the Rashba, the chaticha itself stays also l'fisha ishvayinu nifla min al-gamri, because the iser doesn't totally come out of it. Some iser stays in that chaticha. And the Ramah adds, v'chein ikrit lokom shagos le'el simen tzadi, or parentheses add, le'el simen tzadi beiz, da'fos chaticha moteris. Remember, there's a strange bachar in simen tzadi beiz, you said like the Torah, but that was wrong, and we saw the Shach and Taz all kinds of explanations for it, but like nothing new. They just said, like, maybe he didn't really mean it. L'maisa, either he didn't mean it or he meant it and it was mistaken. He holds like he says here, right? This is the main location. That's the point of Simon Kufbah. Whatever he said in Simon Tzadi Beis was either he mistakenly contradicted himself or he just said in a way which was led to misinterpretation, but he never meant to say such a thing. L'maisa, he holds like here. Masha Enkin, he adds, B'davar Nivla V'limoach, Shemnafal Dam V'kayotz V'lotok Rotev Shalheter, the Rashba said, if it's a chaticha, I admit it's usr. But if it's liquid, what's the example of liquid? If at 1 o'clock you get 1 ounce of yayin arla, in 30 ounces of rotev, so that's treif. Now again, if that rotev gets mixed, that's going to leave more rotev. Ashkenazim would require another 1,800. But for svardim, then at 2 o'clock, you accidentally mix in another 30 ounces of rotev. Now you have a 1 to 60 ratio of iser to heter, and since there's no identifiable piece that the iser is in, right? So if it's just rotev, it all mixes in. Like, you can't say, oh, this was the first 30 ounces of rotev, and this is the second 30 ounces of rotev. There is no piece which was the original rotev. Then it all becomes mutter. He admits that if there's no chaticha, then it all becomes mutter. But if there is a chaticha, the Rashba says it stays usser, because the blias iser sticks in the chaticha. What does the Rashba mean? What is the metzias according to the Rashba? How many pshatim are there in the Rashba? 2. Thank you. Okay, you want to give me one pshat in the Rashba? Which shot do you want to give? Problem is the Rashba himself in different places. He talks about like 4 places. Says different things. You want to give me one shot on the Rashba?
It's wrong.
Okay.
He says that that just because he doesn't think that the Mechaber doesn't hold Chanan by Shari Sur doesn't mean that he holds Eshra Softa with Mutter.
Exactly. So shot 1 in the Rashba is his Eshra Lesofto Usser. Shot 1 in the Rashba, I'm using brackets. Because it has more ink, not because it's part of the scheme or anything. Shot 1 in the Rashba is that even though Chanan ain chatzicha nasas neveila, but etchel softo is usher. What does it mean? What's the metzias? And shot 1, which is the Gruz shot and the Beis Yosef's maskana? Exactly. This is Pshat 1 is the Gra and the Maskon of the Beis Yosef. Pshat 1 is the same. It spreads evenly. It spreads out evenly, so you only have a half ounce in the Chaticha, which is a 1 half to 30 equals a 1 to 60 ratio. So why is the Chaticha still usher? If it's only a 1 to 60 ratio in the Chaticha, because it gets spread out evenly, why is it still usher? Because of the din of Efshar Lesochto usher. What does that din mean? The din means that even though Bimtzios, the Rashba agrees with the Torah, and the Bliya has spread out evenly, so there's only less than a 60th left in this Chaticha, and it's no longer noticing time to the Chaticha. Nonetheless, since it started out as a tarobes shel nesinas tam shel iser, even though now it's gone down to a tarobes without nesinas tam, there's a din of esro sof osir. It's like he happened amidst the Ashkenazim. I don't hold Chanan that it will all turn into iser, but I do hold esro sof osir that it will at least, it won't turn into iser, but it will at least stay osir, as long as it still has even an infinitesimal amount of the Isser within it. Once the Tarobes starts on the Madrega of Nesinas Tam, even if it then goes down to 1 in a 60, 1 in a 100, 1 in a million, 1 in a billion, 1 in a trillion, it stays Usser because it's Eshel Soto Usser. That is the first shot in the Rashba, and that's what the Rashba sounds like, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Shut Rashba on Yuchasos to Ramban, and maybe the Torah Spice and Kutzer sounds that way. That's one shot in the Rashba. Keep in mind, I just want to give you some phrases that the Achronim invent here. If Shana the Rashba is Efshel Sokto Usser, if Shana the Rashba is Efshel Sokto Usser, then what does Efshel Sokto Usser mean? Let me just... Efshel Sokto Usser means that first is a Taroves, which is more than a 60th, and then the Taroves spreads out and goes down and down. It still stays Usser because of the close din of Efshel Sokto Usser. The Rashba still admits, he's the primary one behind the Shita, even Abbas V'Chola, that if you could get all the Isser out, it would turn Mutter. What do we call that rule? If all the Isser comes out, it's Mutter? Yeah. Efshel Afri, that's what Ein HaNasser Elshel Mutter She'Isser Yochel Leilach Hashem. If the Nesar is someplace where there's zero Isser, then that's Mutter. But if the Isser goes down to zero, that would be Mutter. Like, for example, if you had the Chaticha touching another Chaticha dry, and the meat went, but the lard didn't, that would be Mutter. But if it goes down to 1 millionth, that's Usser. And the Achronim invent phrases for this, not found in the Gemara or in Rishonim, I don't think. They call it Esher Lesochto is Usser, but Esher Lehafrido Mutter. Efshel Sokto meant it starts as a 1 to 59 ratio and then becomes a 1 to a million ratio. That is called Efshel Sokto Usser, even though it went down and spread throughout and no longer even seen his time, it's stuck in Isser. Which means he's sort of half admits to us Ashkenazim. I don't admit to you Ashkenazim the whole thing is considered Isser forever, but I admit even though, that at least it's Usser forever. Efshel Afrido means if it starts at a ratio of 1 to 59, and then it's 0%, then it goes down to 0. If all the Isser would leave, I'd admit that would turn into Heter. But if some of the Isser stays just a small amount, then what do I say? There is a Tarovis here, because there's some Isser. The Tarovis is considered a Tarovis of Isser, because it started out in the way of Isser, and it's still here. So since it started out in the way of Isser, and it's still here in some way, that's called Efshel Sokto Usser. Maybe the Reis, the Rabbanon, that's a point of debate. That's Pshat 1 in the Rashba and Mechaber.
What's
an example of Efshel Afrido means here you have beef with blia of lard, and you have everything's dry, and it touches kosher beef. So in here, remember, blia doesn't go that road there. In here goes only beef taste, no lard taste. So there's no real case of Efshel Afrido. But the Ke'ilu case of Efshel Afrido is the part of this that goes into the next Chaticha. What part of this beef goes into the next Chaticha? Only the beef without any lard, because the Bliya can't go from Chaticha to Chaticha that wrote it. So the Bliya that goes into the next piece is an Efshel Afrido, is only the beef without any lard. But you're right, there's no real case of Efshalach Rido. Right, there's no real case of Efshalach Rido. It's only something that can, like, indirectly apply. You can't ever really do it, because the only way to get things out is to cook them out and diffuse them evenly. But by definition, when you diffuse them evenly, part of it stays in itself. Even if you cook with a million tons, there would still be one billionth in the piece itself. So, right, there's no real way to do Efshalach Rido, except maybe with Kishuv.
Rosh Shechter mentioned in the first year when the Shir Gid here that the Tayyip chemical...
Right, so Schefter wants to suggest that, and that's not what's commonly done, although perhaps it's logical and it should be, that maybe with science you can know that something is Efshalach Rido. But Lamaisa, we only use the principle of Efshalach Rido in weird cases, like usually we use the case of Efshalach Rido in exactly this case. This is the only case we really use it, when if you ask what type of juice of this piece went into the next piece without Rotev, only the carrier without the original Isser. That's mutter because of Efshalach Rido. So Efshalach Rido just becomes another word for Ein HaNesar Yochel Lesser El Makom She'Isser Yochel Ha'alach V'Sham. Okay, that's Pshat 1. What's Pshat 2 in the Rashba? Which is what he sounds like in the Kiddushim and in the Shulchilak Aleph, and I think Rabbi Akiva Eger right here likes this Pshat. Pshat 2 in the Rashba. What's Pshat 2 in the Rashba? Again, the Lashon HaMechaber here quotes is a little hard to tell which way it goes, although for the Beis Yosef, if we know what he prefers. What's Pshat 2 in the Rashba? What's the phrase?
Phrase?
You know the phrase? Okay, if not the phrase, give me the shot.
You can't be certain exactly how
exactly!
And it may be that that one piece was not bothered.
You can't be certain that it came out. You had 1 ounce of the 30-ounce chaticha. You can't be certain that it all came out. So maybe, what are you left with? Maybe you're left with 3/4 ounce in the chaticha. And only 1/4 ounce in the rotev. Obviously, I'm making that up. You can make up any number. In which case, 3/4 ounce in the chaticha is a 3/4 to 30 ratio. Whatever exactly it is, it's a 1 to 40 ratio. And therefore, it's still usher, of course. The chaticha is usher. Anyone know what the phrase they use for this is? That it is, it's not that he argues the din on the Torah has this chiddush of Efshel Soto Aser. No, taka Efshel Soto is mutter. But, bintzios, when you cook lias, they don't always come out. The phrase for this is, ein hag'olah bi'ochlin. There's no hag'olah for foods. When you do hag'olah on a pot, you get the taste out. Now, this phrase is a little misleading, because when you get do hag'olah on a pot, all of it comes out, not just proportionally. But that's the phrase they use. You can't be sure that you got the taste out of food because you can't do hagolah for food. Heat doesn't get out blias from food, even though the heat got into blias. But it's not like kasher, you know, kalim. Even though heat got into blias, heat doesn't always get out the blias. So you never know if we'd have to be choshesh l'chomer that it all diffused throughout the rotev, if that would trafe up the rotev. But we also have to be choshesh l'chomer that all or most of it stayed in the chaticha to trafe up the chaticha. We never know which. No, even if it's shishim against the entire piece. Let's say this piece of 30 went into a kedera of 3,000 ounces. Maybe 3/4 ounce stayed in the chaticha, and only 1/4 ounce went into the rotev.
Once that chaticha is taken into the rotev, the upper limit of what can be in there is only the size of the piece.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. This piece is still going to be usher. Because whatever bleeds in this piece is going to stay there. So that's the two pshatim in the Rashba. Again, the Beis Yosef for the first one, the Rabbi Akiva Eger prefers the second one. I will just remind you, although we won't get into it now, remember we had a machlokas about what if you just had onions that were bolea milk and you put them in your children? Would we say, oh, the milk came out through the cooking? Or like the Orchot Shulchan, the Choshech not? Obviously, if you take the first derech, then for sure the milk goes out and there's no problem after the softo. But even if you take the second derech, you could still be makel on the onions because you could say that if we don't know if it went out or not, in the case of the Isser, we stick with Cheskes Isser. But the onions have a Cheskes Heter, so we'd stick with Cheskes Heter. So you would think that the onions would be a nafkamina, but there are one way nafkamina, according to the Grun Beis Yosef's way. For sure, those onions are okay, because whatever milk came out into the cholent was this bottle. Even according to the Rabbi Eger's way, you still might be matcha the onions, because maybe we, out of Suffolk, we go by Chazaka, and this Chatzif has a Cheskes Isser, but the onions have a Cheskes Heter, but okay, that's just Chazar of what we discussed then. That's the two ways of understanding the Rashba. Haggah
The Ramah says, of course, this is all irrelevant to us. Right? And we don't have this chiluk. Now, the Lashon here is a little funny. I'm not going to go through the notes of Kalim, trying to, you know, figure out exactly how to miyashiv the Lashon. But Lamaisa, we know what he means. What he means is, according to the way we say, according to the way we say Hanan, the whole principle is different, and bein balach bein biyavish, you need 1,300 to be mevatel it. So what's the only difference between lach and yavish? The man neser kvar dover yavish yeshishim keneg dover hakaticha neser tefillin esheres bisura. The tzorch lasir me sham in makir veinu makir b'teila meina chaticha rilas kavi. Dover lach kol motz miachad dikashishim neg amash neser tefila vayin lansim in tzadi beis ve tzadi test. This hopefully should be. Hopefully everything the Ramah said here should be second nature to us. You know, we should know this in our sleep. That according to us, if you have a chaticha of 30, that was bolei eser, or rotav of 30 was bolei eser, it's all chanan. You need 1,800 connected. What's the only difference in a chaticha and rotav then? The only difference is if you have the 1,800. If there was rotav 30 and then you put it, it fell into another 1,800 rotav, then obviously it's all mutter. You can't say take out the original rotav, because it's all mixed in. If there was a chaticha of 30 and fell into 1,800, that chaticha stays trait. But we don't even have to come on to the Rashba and the Torah. It stays trait because of Hanan. So what's the din of that chaticha trait because of Hanan? So if you know which one it is, you take it out. If you don't know which one it is, then it's batal. But if it's realist kavit, it's not batal. The Shach points out, there's a bit of a red herring. Because even if it's realist kavit, it's batal. Why?
Because it's not a...
It's not Neser Machos Atzmo. Hey, he just meant to throw in if it's Basar B'cholov and realist kavit, then it's Aser. Which is a very strange thing from Dev said here, but Lamaisa, that's the only way to explain this Rabbah. Okay, any questions on Sifala? Sif Beis, also fairly Pashut. Not also, rather. Sif Beis is fairly Pashut. Chaticha Yishma Chiluf Shabash Lukadei. Remember, they always had Chaticha that a Chiluf stuck to them by accident, and you might only discover it after it's already cooking in your cholent. Sheishma Shishan Vatal Chiluf. So what if the Kedera has 60 times much Chiluf? Again, for Sardin, there's no issue of Chanan. Right, there's 1 ounce of chaylev and a 60-ounce cholent, you're beseder. But, what's the only thing you have to worry about? Certainly, zarshlo, yasser shum dover me'akadera ba'od chatich zeser besocha. You can't serve anyone even one bowl of cholent, as long as that piece of chaylev is there. Why? D'chashin Hashem tishar b'achrona b'shasha im b'kadera shish lovatel ha'chaylev. Because we're afraid that if you start serving people cholent and it goes down to 59, then there'll be chaylev in 59, it'll be usher. Oh, how do we know? You know, when? Between 1 o'clock when you put it up on the stove, and then 2 o'clock you got cooked, 3 o'clock you started serving, 4 o'clock it was empty. How do we know at what moment the time of the chela will go out into the rest of the food and we'll need to know what the measurement is? The answer is, of course, we don't. So, rechoshesh, every second, maybe that's the second that the time of the chela goes into the pot. Therefore, you can't serve anyone any cholent. You can't even take one bean out of the cholent, if it's exactly borderline 60. Because if you took that one bean out of the cholent, maybe the next second, the time of the chela would spread throughout the pot, and it would only be 59 and a half, and it would all become trei. So you'll say, well, I can't serve any cholent, as long as the chela's in there, just take the chela out. The Chaver says, no. The lawyer says, and don't take the chela out and solve the problem either. Why? Shechelev sheba, yes or osa. Because if you take out the piece of the chela stuck to it, then as soon as you take that piece out, the chela will answer that piece. Right? Let's say there's 1 ounce of chela stuck to a 2 ounce piece. So if you lift it out, the minute you lift it out, those 2 ounces of meat will become treif because they're touching the chaylev and they're not touching anything else. And why would you want to waste 2 ounces of meat?
Are there a treif from Isra
Dabu? No, because it's the machaber. So, but you're right in the Ramah. So therefore, if you don't serve people the rest of the cholent because you'll answer the whole cholent. And don't remove the chaylev if it's stuck to meat because you'll answer the meat that it's stuck to. So rather, what should you do? You should let it sit until the kedera cools off. Let it cool off. Then take out the piece of the chelev, cut off the chelev, throw the chelev in the garbage, and then you can warm it all back up again, and it's fine. Of course, the Ramah points out what Adam Michael Law said. According to us, Hanan, A, if there was a 1 ounce piece of chelev stuck to 2 ounces of meat, how big does the cholent have to be if you want to eat your cholent? 1 ounce chelov stuck to 2 ounces of meat? What? 180. Because it's chanan of Isra Dabuk, so it's considered 3 ounces of chanan. So you, and even if your cholent is 180, then the Ramah says, you don't have to wait for it to cool down. Just take out that piece and throw it out, because for us Ashkenazim, that piece is treif anyway. So it's too late to save that piece for Ashkenazim. So you might as well take it out and throw it out. Of course, you should take it out with chopsticks and not with a spoon or a fork, because otherwise you'd have to kosher your fork. But that's a technical problem.
According to the Chagor, if you didn't want to wait till it cooled down,
taking out that piece, and you'll throw out the meat. No. The only thing I could think of is, I guess, Baltashchis. But even Baltashchis is not so popular. Like, for example, let's say you had Goyim who were coming over, so you'd serve it to them, assuming on paper or whatever, so it wouldn't be Baltashchis. Or let's say you had a very big hefset if you wouldn't serve the cholent now, so it wouldn't be Baltashchis, right? You're allowed to even chop down a fruit tree mamish to avoid a hefset. So, l'chori, he's just giving an itzatoma. It's not a halachic problem. Simon Kuf Zayin. Simon Kuf Zayin is this very, very complicated case. Hamavashel beitzim harbe bikli pasan. Lo yotzia me'amayim shenisbashlu bahem. Achi yitztanenu o yitin aleim mayim sonin latzanenam. Somewhat of a segue from the last. If you cook a lot of eggs, but meaning in their shells, hard-boiled, right, this only applies to hard-boiled eggs. If they're all mixed together, and you're making a big omelet, and you can't really see which is which anyway. But if you're cooking hard-boiled eggs, then eventually you're going to open those hard-boiled eggs, and eventually, if one of those hard-boiled eggs has a chick growing inside, you're going to notice. So the Mechaber gives you an Eitzah Tova. Don't take the eggs out of the water until the water cooled off. Again, nowadays, I'm not sure we'd require this Eitzah Tova, just because we don't really have chicks in our eggs nowadays with not even modern technology, with even medieval technology. You know, we avoid, if there's any chicks, eggs with chicks in them, first of all, there aren't, because all of our hens are celibate. And even if they're not, then they check the eggs beforehand with a light box, and if there's ones with an Eproach, then they don't make it to the grocery store. Right, that's why they say grade A eggs. But grade A eggs, it means that they have to pass some sort of test, a minimal test, that they at least shouldn't have an Eproach inside. Okay, but in the old days, where, you know, they didn't do any of this fancy stuff, and they probably had the technology, they could put a big candle and look through it and see if they found an Eproach in the egg, but whatever, they were more natural then. The people didn't expect to have everything served to them on a silver platter. Whenever you got the eggs, the way the hens gave the farmer the eggs, then you had to deal with it. So lo yotzia me'amayim shenisbash lubahen, achi yitzanu, don't take it out of the water until it gets cold. O yitin le'mayim tov misanu, either let them cool off naturally or pour cold water to let them cool off. They're both the same idea. The achar kach yotziyem, and only then should you take out the eggs. Why? We're afraid one of them might have an Eproach. And if you would take out before they cooled off, Shema. Now, if one of the eggs has an Eproach, and there's only like 59 connected that egg, then is there any room for an Eitzah Tova here? Let's say one of them has an Eproach, and Sach HaKol is 59 times an egg. Then an Eitzah Tova is not going to help you. It's all trait. Mazel.
You need 61 for eggs anyway?
Yes. Okay. But the assumption is, no, here you have 61 eggs, 62 eggs, however many eggs. You have enough eggs. You have 70 eggs, let's even say, be generous. What? No, that's in terms of being about the end, but the end, you crack it open, you see the Eproach. The end's going to go in the garbage. The problem is just the time. Right, the time, remember, the time of Bir Yerdach, and you will discover these things, is no different than the time of anything else, just the Be'en wouldn't be batel. But over here, the problem is, halavai the Be'en could be Nisari, then we wouldn't know in the first place, what we didn't know wouldn't hurt us. The problem is, we're going to crack open one hard-boiled egg and see an Eproach there. So, so what's the problem? Let's say you have 70 eggs. You molt me, according to Shinitzanu, Shemai Senesh Eres, Osh Shish, by Eproach, and Achronos. If you pour the eggs out of one pot, then maybe you'll pour out 35 eggs. There'll be left another 35 eggs, including the one with the Eproach, in a Kli Rishon. And now remember, every second, just like in the previous sip, every second we say maybe this second, the tam will be Niflat and Asher the rest. So maybe after you pour out 35 eggs and there's 35 left, then the tam will come out of the Beitzah Eproach. And it'll only be 1 to 35, and it'll asser all those eggs, and then you'll be in big trouble. So therefore, you should just let them cool down and not pour them out while they're boiling hot to avoid the problem of leaving less than 60 in the pot. That's the And that's the chumra of, and it goes back to the Ritva, really. Well, this is at least not hachila. One thing the Mechaber doesn't say, which the Taz Medayit, the Mechaber doesn't say what would happen to the Yevet. And Bidyevet, if you did, Bidyevet, if you had 70 eggs, and you poured them from the pot into into another dish, and then you found the pizza sephroach clear, what would be the din? He doesn't say exactly. I mean, okay, he says, Tachachila binizer. He doesn't say what would be the din b'diavad. The Taz and Medayik, the things would be much of b'diavad. I'm not sure that it's mochrach. But we'll see in any case, for us Ashkenazim, we'll see what the Ramah says b'diavad. Adam Michael Law.
Why does it say shishim? Shouldn't it be shishim l'chad? Maybe it's different for a tam versus the... I don't know,
no, that's also for a tam. Why does it say shishim l'vatla? Good question. What? Yeah, it could be since the real idea is 60, then he wasn't being the dayak here to tell you. 61 was just to make sure you have 60, so maybe here he's just sticking with the ikra din. You know, since here he's not talking to tell you what to do practically, he's just discussing sort of theoretical possibility.
I understand if he's talking just about beating here. Why would he not be the dayak in the lashon?
Not sure. All right, Sarkian.
Yeah, in that case, 61,
what
I'm talking about. Is that also talking about just a tom?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. All right, it's a bit of a tzarki. Looking about it, Shulchan, maybe you'll say something. Okay, what does our Ramah say? V'im lo asakein al irosan l'ka'orav nimsa achmim treifa. But what if you didn't listen to this good advice and you cooked your 70 eggs and you just dumped them into another ka'ara and one of those found to be treifa? He doesn't mean treifa in the literal sense. Of like it was laid by a hen with a hole in its lung or something, because there's no way you can find that after, well, I guess maybe if you then shech the hen. But what he means here is one of them is treif, like we say. Yesh osur makol, some people say it's all treif. Dechashin an shema treif anishal of asof loya shisha makdir levatel. Because we're afraid maybe the treif egg was left at the end with some other eggs. And with less than 60 other eggs, there was not 60 mevatalev, and that's from Ashvikdera. So everything that was left in the kedera, when you poured out half the eggs, the other half were left with the treif, and they all become treif. And then you pour the half of the treif eggs that are left onto the first half, right? So they're, again, just to be clear, first you pour out 30 eggs. And then you have 40 eggs left, including the treif when it makes them all treif. And then you pour those 40 eggs onto the 30 eggs, and they make those treif also, and they're all treif. So that's a problem. The same thing applies with little fish.
Is that just eerie, though?
Oh, we'll get to that. Okay. The same applies with little fish. Let's say herring, right? If you have a lot of herrings, but accidentally, within this whole big pot of herrings, there's one tree fish. I don't know what tree species might sometimes get caught with herring. Whatever, let's call it tray fish. Below Eva, same problems. Below Eva, kulum pamachzal tochakara. Same problem applies. If you cook up a big pot of herring, and you don't like dump them all at once. If you dump them all at once, then nothing's going to be left. They're all dumped at once. No, you dump some, and then you dump a little more, and then a little more. Then we're afraid maybe when you already poured out a lot of fish, there were 40 fish left, or 59 fish left, plus one tray, and it made all those trays. Same problem. Does yeshloch hashem anishar esel basof? Maybe among the last few dozen that were left was the treif one. And that treif one made all the ones that were with the treif. And then they made everything treif. We'll come back to that. The Yesh Ratir Bechal Inyan Delomach Zekin Isher Loma Denisher Isher Below Shishim Vechein Iker. And some people are Matir. Because we're not machzik isher, we don't worry about the scenario that maybe the treif fish was left at the end with less than 60 other fish and made them all treif. And v'chein ikr n'armah paskins l'kula. Then he has one more line, which we'll get to in a moment. Let's just go over the basic svaras here. There are, yeah.
Can I ask this question about eggs?
Yes.
Are they not porous?
Eggs are porous.
They are.
We learned that explicitly in, I think it might have been some Sadi Tesif days. No, I apologize that. Maybe it's Sadi Tesif days. No. Someplace. What? Anyway, Lamaisa. Yeah, Lamaisa, we learned that. What? Yeah, yeah. Lamaisa, we learned that eggs are porous. Vaharaya. Brown eggs from the cholent. Exactly. So eggs are porous. Sorry. Okay. Now, there are three basic shitas here in the Rishonim. Now, one can get into a lot of details here. But I'm not going to get into all the details.
With your...
One shita is the Riva. Yeah. One shita is the Riva. This is the most machmer shita. The Riva, that's really where all this starts from, like smak, smag, etc. Starts with the Riva, quoted, I think, the Sefer Truma, and then the Sefer Truma argued with him. Started with the Riva and the Sefer Truma. And then they brought in the Rash. The Riva says that basically in all cases they're all usser. Why are they all usser? Because step one is maybe nishar ha'isser basof, and the isser assered. Let's pick a number. 59 others, right? Well, it could be 30, 40. I think he actually says 20 or 30, right? And then those others fell on the first ones and answered them. Right, so again, I have my whole thing of fish. Maybe as I'm pouring, the last 40 fish are left with the trade fish and all become trade. And then I dump those 40 fish onto the other fish. And then those 40 fish make the other fish trade. Rabbeinu Baruch rejected him.
Rabbeinu Baruch is the author of...
Those
fall in and they all fall in the other ones and they ask them off.
Otherwise, you would talk about, according to the Riva, no, because not Osir Machmas Atzma. Right? And it's a trade fish. You see the trade can throw it out. The kosher fish, they ask because of the trade fish, are not a beer, because it's not Nesar, from its Chilus Briyaso and the chule, the chule. One second. Does he, is this because of Hanan? How else would they ask her the other ones?
You don't know where the
he's not.
Is.
But why aren't they about the Baruch then? The basic problem is that the Rishonim and Achronim don't really explain the logic behind the Riva 100% well. So the answer might be, although I'm not sure, that he thinks that no. Since when you pour these 40 fish, or 59, whatever Mene said, onto the other fish, it's now Eroi and only Asher's Kedei Klipa, so they could Asher the Kedei Klipa of all the fish. They could answer the Kedei Klipa.
They could answer up to the maximum, which is the original fish.
But the Klipas will never add up to very much.
Yeah, it can only be the maximum of that one fish in the first place. So how could you?
Because you don't know which Klipas they touched.
It's all things we've been told anyway by the end.
No, because there's room for a lot of Klipas that are still add up to less than 60 fishes. Because Klipas are very small.
What I'm saying is, within the whole thing, once it's now cooking and out of here, the whole thing is going to be all bittul within itself. That's the whole point. It was a cooking situation. Now it's all bittul. Now it pours back in. Great, there's a Klipa.
No, but
still
maybe
the maximum is the size of fish. Of one fish, as we were with the knife case.
Right.
See, the maximum you can have is the Klipa with the size of the
right. In Echnami, the truth is, the only thing I could think of is, maybe he is based on Hanan. But I'm not sure. The problem is they don't really, like, it's like everyone like says why the Riva is wrong, and the Riva is by then like long dead. and well, actually not for the Sefer Truma, but certainly the Talmud, everyone else gets to it, has no chance to defend himself, and no one really cares to. So, I mean, some of the later are going to discuss it. But you're right, let's leave the Rival a little bit to here. Now, what is Rabbeinu Baruch saying? Rabbeinu Baruch is the author of Sefer Trumos, thank you. The Sefer HaTruma, or Truma, right? Technically, his book is called the Sefer HaTruma, not to be confused with the Sefer HaTrumos of Rosh Shmuel Hasar, the Talmud of the Ramban, on in Yanei Choshen Mishpat. But Rabbeinu Baruch argues on him, and basically what Adam's pointing out is, well, let's see, I will say back. Now, even what Rabbeinu Baruch means is very complicated. There's the Toras Chatas, and the Nis Yosef, and the Shach, and the Yisrael to put in the Taz. So maybe we'll just go with the Shach's interpretation. Sounds good for me, interpretation. Rabbeinu Baruch argues, he says, so what? He says, even if, what does he say, 30 or 40? That's the number they say, they always use here. 20 or 30, but the same for 59. Even if 20 or 30 or 59 became treif, and were then poured onto the rest, still all mutter. Why did Rabbeinu Baruch say they're still all mutter, even if Taka 20 or 30 did become treif? And then those 20 or 30 or 59 that became treif were poured onto the rest of the fish or the eggs. It's still mutter. Let's take the fish. It's still mutter. Why is it still mutter? Because what happens to these 20 or 30 or 59 if they get poured onto the rest of the fish? Can they give tam to the other fish?
Only klipa.
Well, maybe only klipa, or... let's say that you already drained out all the water. So I'll be pasha. I'm like Yosef. Still mutter because these pieces don't give time. Remember, whenever we complicate the tarot, they have to ask, did the Isser give time to the answer? And is the Isser the end still causing an Isser, right? The bitl tam bit led. They don't give time to the other fish. Because ein blia yotzeis mechaticha lechaticha blirotev. Ah, how about the be'en that there are 20 or 30 or 59 trait fish here? So in a chani, they don't give time to the other fish. But they're still be'en trait fish here. Especially we Ashkenazim ultimate. Now there's be'en trait fish. Why aren't you bothered about the be'en trait fish? And the be'en of the tray fish is batel birov. Why? Because it's harovish of yavish be yavish min bimino is batel birov. Right? Think about it. You have trayed up fish falling onto kosher fish. That's yavish be yavish. They're all dry. Min bimino. Bitzel Barov, so the end is Bitzel Barov, and the Tom can't leave the fish anyway. That's the cool of Rabbeinu Baruch. Now, Rabbeinu Baruch, his kula is, it's, he has 2 to 9 to be Mako. He's only Mako if Riva is always Machmir. He's only Mako if, what 2 conditions do you need for him to be Mako?
Dry, no
rotor. Hey, exactly. It's dry. What do you mean dry? You were cooking them. Cooking them means in water. What does dry mean? Dry means you drained the water before pouring the last fish onto the first fish. Right now, here's where the scenarios get very, very, very complicated, because there's all different scenarios. One scenario is like you're sort of pouring out fish with water, and then by the time there were like around 60 left, you drained out all the water, then you dump those 60 fish. So Rabbeinu Baruch say, okay, and the blia can't go without rotev, so the blia can't ask the other fish, and the fish will bottle roof, so you're beseder. Similarly, what if you drain all the water first and then poured all the fish? So the Yisvehedra thinks that Taka might be a problem. The Shach assumes that would also be within Ravina Baruch's Kula. Point out the funny base Yosef, he seems to say Ravina Baruch has his Kula, even if you pour it all out with the water. But then the Bliya will go into at least a Kedei Klipa because of Eroi. So he's Nidchak, and Beis Yosef says, well, maybe you're going to take the skin off the fish and shells off the eggs anyway. So, again, that's what makes it a little complicated. And here I'm very much a kitzard. But that's one Tanai, or else, take off a klipa, right? Meaning if you poured them all with the water, and water is pouring with the eggs or fish the whole time, then as they fall, they might ask for a klipa of everything. And you have to take that klipa off everything. And I think that might answer Anna Michael's shayla. What was the revuz shash? The revuz shash was maybe, even if you had 100 fish, the klipas of 100 fish only add up to like one fish. Like there's still plenty of taste to go into the klipas of all the other fish. So with Asar, all the other klipas at least. And maybe he thinks of Bli's Yotzim Chatichu Echatichu Bli Rota, but that's complicated. What's the second tanai, of course, that the Ravina Baruch requires for his kula? There have to be Rov Heter, meaning how many fish do you need?
120.
Right?
120.
Right, no one actually says in quite the words. They say, oh, you need enough to be a bottle of 20 or 30 that are left. Lachor 20 or 30 lavdavka. Lachor, what he means is you need 120 fish. Right? Because you need to have enough for 59 to get answered, and when they fall in, they'll still be batel b'ruv. Which is why, when the Rishonim quote Ravina Baruch, they quote him as being makel by the fish, but not by the eggs. Why? Because eggs, you usually don't cook so many eggs. Fish, you usually do cook so many fish. It's not like a lundish thing. It's just that, you know, when you cook herrings, you cook hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. When you cook fish, eggs, you know, cook 120 eggs. But that's not really important. That's the middle sheet of Ravina Baruch. Anyone know who Paskins like Ravina Baruch? Shach and the Taz. I know the Ramah doesn't, so I'm going a little backwards chronologically. The Shach and the Taz hold like Ravina Baruch and not like the Ramah. They hold like Ravina Baruch. What's the Heter? The Heter is if there was enough twice 60 to be mevatel what was left that first time. And if by the time you poured out the last fish there was no more water left, then the Ve'en is batel b'rov and the Tam can't go out without Rotev. So then it's all okay, but only within those conditions that Ravina Baruch set up. That's the second shita. What's the third shita? The third shita is the Rash, Ravino Shimshon. Ravino Shimshon says it's always all mutter. And who holds like Rabbeinu Shimshon? The Ramah. B'chor, we would agree with the Shach and the Taz, meaning if the later post can reject the Ramah, the later post can reject the Ramah. But the Ramah passes the Kula like Rabbeinu Shimshon. Why does he pass the Kula like Rabbeinu Shimshon? Because we're not Choshesh that the treif one was left in the pot with 20 or 30 or 59 others at all. We're just not choshish for the whole scenario in the first place. Right? And as the Reva said, we're choshish, it'll be left when you pour it out of the pot little by little. You know, you don't like wait for it to cool down, and you don't dump the pot legamre. I guess the Mechaber didn't give you the option of dumping the pot legamre by the eggs, because that would crack them all and make them mushy. But you don't dump the pot legamre. You don't wait for it to cool down. You pour it out little by little. The Reva says, maybe there'll be 30 left with the treif. We'll treif them off, and then they'll treif up the kosher ones. Ravina Baruch says, yeah, Taka, maybe it'll be left with 30 and treif them off, but at least in the right circumstances, they won't treif up the kosher ones. Adrava, the kosher ones will be mevatel then. The Ravina Shimshon says, no, we're not choshish for the scenario in the first place. We don't think in the first place that it'll be left in the bottom of the pot, as you're pouring out, the last 59 will have the treif one. No, we think the first 59 will have the treif one. We're not choshish at all. Wait, if the treif one comes out of the pot first, then it's no problem. The treif one, as long as it's in the pot, it's tasted batel b'shishim. When it comes out of the pot, it's already just iroi. Wherever it lands, if it lands on one or two others, it'll only ask for them kedei klipa, and that'll for sure be batel b'rov. Okay, so let's think about that. I mean, a little. What's the svara of the Ramah? What is the svara of the Ramah? Now, if you took the pshat lashon of the Ramah, what's his svara?
He must have been answer.
Exactly. The pshat lashon of the Ramah says, where is it? Delo machzikina iser. Lo machzikinan iser. Right? Stam, we don't suspect for the iser case. After all, we see in front of us, we cooked in front of us, one tray egg in 70. One tray fish in 63. We have in front of us now one in 63. To be matzik, it used to be one in 63, now it's one in 63. But in between, maybe it was one in 30, and v'chuli, v'chuli, v'chuli. Now we're not matzik yisr. The pshat of the Ramah might sound like we're just stam not matzik yisr, but this is tricky. This klal of ein matzik and yisr is a very hard klal to apply, which I think we've learned by now. Like, on the other hand, is that what he means? I'm not sure that he means, like, it's quite so simply. He might be just summarized. That's why I said pshat lashon. He might be just summarizing for us, because after all, why not? If you poured it out in two halves, then either the issue was in the first half or the second, you know. So why not? So what might be the svara, if you want to add a svara, not just down low mazina this issue, because it's 50-50, why not? Anyone know what the Lashon of the Rash quoted in the Torah, the Beis Yosef was? Forget if he's in the Torah or the Beis Yosef. What was the Lashon of the Rash, why he wasn't Machzik Yisr? Exactly. So the lashon of the rash is isura beruba ika, meaning he still requires 120. He still requires 9b. So the rash sounded like it was a more limited kula. If you have 120, then I'll tell you why we're not koshish. You know why? If you have 120, then mimanasha. If the minority fell out and the majority are still in the pot, why is it mutter? If 50 fell out and 70 are still in the pot, why is it mutter? Still bittel b'shishim in the pot. Yeah. Right? If 50 fell out and 70 are still in the pot, then there's bittel b'shishim in the pot. What if 70 fell out and 50 are in the pot? Then taka would be a problem if the treif was in the pot. But the odds are that the treif came out already. So mimanasha, if only 59 came out, the odds are the treif's still in the pot, but it's bittel b'shishim. If already 61 came out, the odds are the treif already came out and it's not in the pot. So mimanavshach, by the time you get to less than 60 in the pot, it's only a mir in the pot, and the odds are that the treif one's not in the pot. That's called the sur beruba isa. Eliot brings up the constant tension between kol deparsh beruba parsh and sur beruba ika. Okay, we're not going to deal with that right now. But again, Rabbeinu Shimshon's hetzer is really a little more limited, because he doesn't say it's always all mutter. Only if you have 120, because then you could say, again, this mimanavshach, what does it mean? If here's your kli rishon with all your whatever's coming out, and here's your tray on the bottom with all your whatever's coming out, right, and you pour out, then again, if there are 50 here and 70 here, you pour it on two stages. If there are 70 left here, then I don't care if the tray fund's still there. It's still bottle b'shishim. And if you say no, well, by the time you pour a little more, there's 70 here and 50 here, and if the tray fund's left in the pot, it'll last for the rest. No, but the odds are the tray fund's not left in the pot. Because he's sur beruba, so the odds are that it's on the bottom. So therefore, mimanavshach, by the time the pot becomes a potential problem, the odds are that the issur already fell out of the pot into the klisheni, and therefore it's not a problem. That's Rabbeinu Shimshon, but that's not really the Ramah. Because the Ramah says, never machzikin an issur, and he doesn't say only if you have 120. So what's the svar of the Ramah, baby? So maybe what he says in the Torah's Chatas. What does he say in the Torah's Chatas? So in the Torah's Chatas, the Ramah says, he explains a little more his svara. Again, in the Shulchan Aruch, he might just mean stam lo machzikin an iser, which would be a big kula. But in the Torah's Chatas, he explains his svara a little more. He says, number one, safek drabanan lekula, plus, that's his number one, Safek Darabon and Lekula. Plus, if you have the topic Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, plus Kol Ma Shenichnas B'Safek Nisayeya Levatel. Number one, he says, look, this is only chash drabbanan, safed drabbanan lekula. Right? Maybe this problem happened, that the Isser was left with only 30 or 40 or 59 others in the pot while you're reporting, or maybe it didn't. So safed drabbanan lekula. Hold that thought. And B, there's a principle in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph called Kol Mashi Nechnas B'Safim Seir L'Batel. Well, that principle is limited to L'Chora Min B'Mino or Drabbanans, etc. What does that mean? Let's say I have two pots, and an ounce of lard falls into one of them. Then if I add them up and they're 60 together, they're Mabatelet. Oh, but it only fell into one of them? No, wherever it might be counts toward the Bittel. So here also, the Isser might be on top, might be on the bottom. Wherever it might be counts toward the Bittel, so it's always Batel B'Shisha. Again, we don't start passing like that rule, because we usually don't use that rule, but only for like min v'min and drabbanan. Here I get into a whole din in the shach, which I'm not going to get into, which is that the Ra is assuming that there's only a shach drabbanan. What do you mean? What about tam kefir d'oraisa? So, either this gets into a big din in the shach, either he assumes it's drabbanan because of min v'mino, because all the same min, but then you have to ask, are tray fish and kosher fish the same min? Is an egg with an afroach and an egg with just an egg the same min? And that's a big issue. Or it could be that these yisurim are drabbanan in the first place. A beitza with an afroach, according to many rishonim, is only also drabbanan. Midoraisa, it's kosher. And seer dagim, the taste that comes out of tray fish, might only be drabbanan. Tom cake or fish might only be drabbanan. I think Rabbi Kiva Eger picks up on this here. And there's a big discussion. Fish brine is only drabbanan, but fish taste might be worse than fish brine, might be doraisa. Again, we're not going to get into it. Lehalacha lemaisa, bottom line, if this actually happens, it's complicated enough that you should, probably ask a big Talmud Chacham. But as a, because we've only done the Kitzer, but as a rule of thumb, again, we have these three approaches. The Rambam would say, we're not exactly sure why. Is it just a general lomastikin and isra, tremendous, have to be never worried about bad scenarios? Or is it only if you have 120 because isra baruba isa? Or is it only if you're dealing with durabanans because of safa durabana lakula, or that in durabanans, even if the isra is only on top or only on bottom, we count both the top and the bottom towards shishim? It's a little tricky to rely on the Ramah, especially as many of these might be d'oraisas. It's a little tricky to rely on the Ramah. Pashas, we should say, like the Shach and the Taz, that if you have 120 and you didn't pour the water at the end, so then the Tom of what, even if things became trait, their bottom were open, their Tom can't escape, then you're okay. Otherwise, it's potentially a problem.
It's 120 kosher fish?
Yeah.
To the one.
Even 120 sacha kol, because it can only ask for 59. Again, this is working off. This is working off the false assumption that all fish are exactly the same size. But let's assume that for the sake of simplicity, because in Miman of Shach, if it was left with 60, it's batel, and if it was left with 59, there's 60 on the bottom, and then it's 60-60. Okay, so you need 120 plus one in a phenomenon. Again, if I actually had 120 even, then I'd be a little nervous. I don't know exactly what size they all are. It's not measuring them. I don't know. Okay, Lamaisa, the Shach and the Taz reject the Ramah. The Ramah just throws in one interesting kula at the end, which al pi pshuto seems a little difficult, but what does he say? He says, v'afilo l'das ha'osrin, even according to those who are more machbir, the Ramah knows he's makel, v'chein ikr. But even according to those who aser, big kula, even though those who say it's treif admit the pot stays kosher. Oh, how can the pot be kosher? The eggs and fish are treif. Why is the pot kosher? Because the pot has a cheskes heter, so the pot retains its cheskes heter. So that's a big chiddush. Even the ones who hold the fish and the eggs are treif are still know that the pot is kosher because of cheskes heter. Now, this is very difficult. Why is this Ramah difficult?
The fish also have
a cheskes heter. So it's not exactly clear what he means, why the pot has a cheskes heter and the fish don't have a cheskes heter. I'm not exactly sure what he means. There are different theories. You could say that, like, the fish don't have a cheskes heter because you know at least some fish are treif. How do you know at least some fish are treif? Because at the very least, at the moment of iwari of the treif fish, it landed on at least one kosher fish, an aser de kedei klipa. So therefore, there's like a pagam in the cheskes heter of the fish, but there's no pgam in the cheskes heter of the pot. That's a machodesh zar. And as even if the fish are mutter, at least like one of them got a little trait from them with this bottle of rope, but they're not like pure mutter.
Yes, sir. Doesn't it rely upon the same, didn't that you spill out of the water that it's just a fish sitting on a pot and that's it?
No, because the fish, because the fish, the...
Not the only first place one is cooking, and you pour out the liquid, it's just a dry fish sitting in a dry pot.
No, but as you, before you finish pouring out the liquid, there might only be 30 left in the liquid.
If he's relying on, I mean,
no, but he's not, because he's according to even the machmir.
Ah.
Even the machmir would be mapped to the pot. So it's not exactly, you could say, if you want to say a whole very, very fancy lumbus, that there's a fundamental difference between pot, tam, and pots, and tam, and food. Tam, and food is not really an oser of the food. It's just something found inside the food. So the cheskes heter, the food can't tell you there's not something else inside. But tam in a pot is a chalos iser in the pot. The cheskes heter can tell you. That's also the big fish. A lot more lumbus than I'd be willing to swear that this Rambam was holding. The simple shot is I'm not sure exactly why the Rambam was so convinced of this, but if you look at the Shach tells you, I am a choose my real some kufna al shagaz of harbi tam lachalik and amachalakli, some of these that I mentioned, at least the first one. Cause of Sham Shinira, this is the Shach Bey, Shalo Hitra Kli al Acharme Isla Ais. Here he makes it a little better. He says, you know what? This whole heter on the Kli is only after 24 hours when it knows the Tam of Gam. So it could be the real shot in the Rambam is that he said, look, the Kli, I'm not sure about this cheskes heter thing. But at least after 24 hours, we can rely on this cheskes heter svara. Because look, it's just a chashkar abundance of time with God. For the food, I'm reluctant to rely on the svara of cheskes heter. But for the kli, after 24 hours, we can be so much on the svara of cheskes heter. So maybe it's not that he really had a difference between the kli and the food. It's just that he said, look, even those who are machber will admit that after 24 hours, and the kli is only a shiloh of drabanan, and then everyone should rely on this cheskes heter svar. Lamaisa, I think we're noheg, if this ever happens, to rely on this Rama, that even though Achmir will be mapped to the cliques of cheskes heter, at least after 24 hours, even if we're not exactly sure what a svar was, but after 24 hours, that's what to rely on.
Only after 24 hours.
Right, only after 24 hours. That's for sure. Okay, the, yeah.
In general, I thought we scheduled the noodle, try to just the bacon.
Correct, we generally don't.
This isn't a paradigm.
I didn't want to say, like, oh, well, sort of it's a suffix, so we can make it after 24 hours, because then we'd be macher within 24 hours and we wouldn't change our mind anymore. But I mean to say it's like a svara, which he felt that for this particular svara, you should be make it after 24 hours. Well, it could be. I mean, although he's talking according to Machmirim. Not sure. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit to this Maril. Maybe there is some really good svara to be machalik that's very convincing. Okay, Ayin Shum. The Sif Beis is much is very no gael lach lemaisa as well. Zvav v'kayotzu mem dvarim usim, but we discussed this once already. Zvav v'kayotzu mem dvarim usim shenaf shalot mkotzu mem shenimtzu betavshel. If you have a fly or some other disgusting thing that people hate that you find in your tavshel, in your soup, waiter, there's a fly in my soup. Zorkam v'tavshel motzer, you throw out the fly and the soup is motzer. She'ain places bar meilu pogem oseris. Because the taste that come out of this is disgusting, it's tam lefgam, and it doesn't aser. Now, obviously, it doesn't aser if there's a fly in your soup because it's buffalo shishim anyway, but even if there would be, you know, a very, very large fly in a very, very small spoonful of soup, still, it wouldn't aser, even if it would be more than a 60th, because this is tam lefgam. This is a big machlokas brought down in the Tor here. The Rashba and others are Mekel, and the Tor and others are Machmir. Halach lemaisa, let's read the Ramah. V'chein ha-minig pashot afagav v'yish machmirin, even though there are some machmirin, there are many mishonim who are machmirin and say the taste of flies is usher. Divrei mekilin ikar, we hold like the mekilin, v'ein l'shanos ha-minig, and you should be mekel, interesting, usually writes ein l'shanos ha-minig about chumras, here writes about a kula, ein l'shanos ha-minig. Of course, the shach at the end of the simon, the end of Sukkot and Zion, he says, goes back to La'inyan Yizvava Oser. Now that I've discussed the part of the Ramah we haven't read yet, let me go back and argue on the first part of the Ramah. He really thinks that since there are so many Mishonim who are Machmir, he should be Machmir, unless it's like have some Meruba. He thinks he should be Machmir, that the taste of flies is good. We saw the same exact Machlokas. I think then it was maybe Machlokas Mechaber and Shach. Now it's Mechaber Ramah versus Shach in Simen Kuf Gimel. In Simen
We saw the same machlokas, sorry, in Siman Kof Dalet, Siv Gimel, the same exact machlokas, that disgusting thing, the Shachar assumed they had a good taste, and the Mechaber assumed they had a bad taste, and even though the Shachar's Machmir, the Prima Gadim points out that our Minhag is like the Mechaber in the Ramah, we assume that disgusting things have disgusting taste, even though he says maybe Machmir Tovel of Bracha, but at the very least, Medina, we do not hold like the Mechaber. The minig is, we do not hold like the Shach, the minig is like the Ramah and the Mechaber, that disgusting things have disgusting tastes. Therefore, even if they're more than a 60th, it's still mutter. It doesn't happen all that often usually, because they're very small. They're usually less than a 60th. But if it would happen, then the Ramah did say, in L'shamas Minhag, and I think that had some effect. The has an interesting case here. It says, V'imlokach makaf dog tomei minak deira ushar davrish eno pagum. Now the Ramah, it's going to be hard for him to find a cool case. Because he can't say, if with your spoon you take out a fly and some soup, then what's the din? Because he thinks a fly is a tom with gum, so the din is that everything's okay, just throw out the fly. Right? So he has to, in order to get a cool case, he has to give you a slightly different example, not that you took out with a spoon a fly from your soup. Because that taste, whatever taste comes out of the fly, doesn't hurt us, halachically. But you took out with your spoon a dug tummy from your soup. You had some sort of fish. Remember, you were cooking hundreds of herring in a pot. You saw one tray herring, and you took it out with one tray fish. And you took it out with a spoon, or some other davar she'eino pogam, some other good tasting yisur, right? You find a good tasting yisur in your soup, and you take it out with a spoon. What's the din? Aser lahachzer akaf likdeira. You take it out with your spoon. It's aser to put the spoon back in the kidera. Why is it aser to put the spoon back in the kidera? Let's say I find what's an example of a treif thing? I am eating soup, and I see a tiny piece of ham in the soup. I'm not sure exactly why that would happen.
I see the
field rat is good. Yeah, everything in cities is bad. Everything in nature is good. You see a little piece of ham in your soup, and you take it out with the spoon. So you can't put the spoon back in because everything in the spoon absorbed the taste of the ham, right? As soon as you take the spoon out, while the spoon was in the soup, then the taste of the ham diffused evenly throughout the soup and was bottled with shisha. But once you take it out in the spoon, if the ham is, let's say, you know, one cc, the whole spoon sakol is 30 cc's. So then it can give its taste the whole spoon. When you put it back in, that's all chananed. When you put it back in, you're putting the chanan back into your soup. So of course you can't do that. It's all treif. What?
So
the spoon, that's the shayla of a ladle, right? When a ladle comes out, is it called a kli rishon or not? And we pass like the taz l'chumra that it might be called a kli rishon. And l'chora, this ramah, is a proof for that. Because he says when you take the spoon out, everything in the spoon becomes treif. So that shows that as a ladle, we're still machmir, the ladle might be called a kli rishon after you take it out. And therefore, the little dug tameh or davar she'eino pogam will treif up the spoon and make it chanan. So you're not allowed to put it back. You have to just throw out whatever soup is in the spoon and kasher the spoon. A be'im hechziro. What if you did put the spoon back? So shishim in akadeira neged ha'isr v'lo neged kol hakaf. Then, if you did put the spoon back in, then you need 60 times in the top shell, but you don't need 60 times the size of the spoon. You only need 60 times the size of the iser. The im of a hoy ma'amin a top shell, a iser b'kaf of shell, there it's a shishim gam negim out of top shell, darin nasa nevela b'kaf. So what the Ramah is saying, the Ramah is basically saying, that if you, let's just make yourself some room, here's your spoon, right? And here's your 1 ounce of ham. The size of your spoon is, let's say, not ounce, that would be big. A 10 cc spoon, 1 ounce of ham. So if you take out that 1 ounce of ham in the spoon and put the spoon back in the pot, how much do you need to be in the pot to be in the bottle it? 60. Only 60 times one. Why? Because the spoon is in chanan. Just the 1 ounce of taste might have gone into the spoon, might lodge itself in the spoon, but the spoon isn't chanan. What if you have 1 ounce of treif and another
2 ounces of rotev, then you only need 3 ounces. 180 ounces of the pot. Why? Because first the spoon makes the rotev chanan, so you have 3 ounces of trace sakhal. And now, even though you throw out the ham, still some of that trace taste might have gone into the spoon. So there's sakhal, 3 ounces of trace floating around here. But the spoon itself doesn't become trace. So that's, the Brahma is teaching us 2 things. Here, 1 second. That if you, remember, if you take out a fly with the spoon, the Rama says no problem because it's a tam lufgan. If you take out a piece of ham or a good thing with the spoon, with a good tasting trait with the spoon, then it will put its own taste in the spoon and it will chanan up any soup in the spoon, but it won't chanan up the spoon itself. Therefore, you only need 60 keneged, the iser taste that's hiding in the spoon, and the rotev, but not 60 keneged the spoon itself. Anyone want to tell me? Yeah?
Yeah, well, what about this ugly in that spoon?
Ah, so anyone want to tell me, why isn't the spoon itself become chanan? Ah, so the Shach says, because the Kli itself can't be chanan. Of course, that's a problem, because what about the Bliyas in the Kli? Can't they become chanan?
Yes.
So, what?
The new spoon, they
don't what? Know so, that's the Shach says, it must be that it's talking about a new Kli, and as Michael points out, new Kli doesn't mean new, it just means hasn't been used for 24 hours. Of course, the later I'm going to point out, the Prima Gun points out, this is a little ridiculous. How can you say there's no Blias in this spoon? If you stuck it in the Kedera to get out this tam, then there are Blias in the spoon. So you have to make a really crazy Okenta that, like, here was your Kedera, and, like, here was the ham, and you sort of scooped it out without getting your spoon under the water level, and, like did a little move of scooping out and bouncing that ham onto your spoon, and it's a very, very dachak Okenta. To assume that there's no blias. The Shach assumes there's no blias in the spoon. How do you get the ham out? The little fancy, I don't know what it's called. Right? With much dexterity. I don't know. Very. It's such a peculiar okimta. It's very strange. So, Lemaisa, one second. Lemaisa, the later Achronim point out that even the Prima Gadim says, he ends, the Prima Gadim says, that you have to say you took it with a spoon from above without getting your spoon into the Kedera. And the Minchas Yaakov says, Dochek Lomar Kain. It seems a little dochek lomar kain, but if not, then what are you going to say? So it could be that the Rama is being makel here. We had this earlier by the question of sticking the spoon in twice. Maybe Betzera, the Manda Omar, that there's no Chanan B'Shari Surin, and the Manda Omar, that there's no Chanan B'Bliya B'Kalim, the Ramban. Right, there is a man that there's no chanan and blias in Caleb. So maybe there are must be makel here that you know even a bli in the kli won't become chanan. Oh, although the problem is that Betzera of the manda omar that a ladle is a klisheni, and the manda omar that there's no chanan and bli of the Caleb. That's probably the logic of the Ramah here, which is it's a trumas hadeshen. The trumas hadeshen said earlier that Betzera again. Maybe the ladle is a klisheni, and therefore the ladle can't have any bliya once you take it out. And even if it's a kli rishon, maybe bliyas and kelim can't become chanan. So tzerich those two mandarim, that's probably why Shach didn't think so. That's a less dachik way to explain the Ramah. So again, just a chazad Ramah. The Ramah says you take out something with a good taste from your spoon. The good taste goes into the spoon. The rotev in the spoon becomes chanan. You need 60 to negate the original taste of the thing that might be in the spoon, and 60 against all the rotev. But you don't need 60 against the kli. Why not? Shach says it's a kli with no plius, and kleilim themselves don't become chanan, and that's a dochuk okimta b'mitzias. The other way to interpret the Ramah is like the Trumas Hadeshen, that we're makel that the plius and the kli can't be chanan, but seira, the shita that once the spoon leaves the pot, it's considered a kli sheni, and there's no plia. And even if there is a plia, the shita that a plios can't become chanan.
Number one, what?
If it's a cheres, according to the Ramah, then the Shach would be machmer, but according to himself, he wouldn't. If you remember back in some Tzadi test.
Mm-hmm.
The Shach says the Ramah would have been makir if he used a cheres spoon.
The Ramah says it himself. They were choshish to the different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So the Ramah says it.
In Sadi Tess.
In Sadi Tess.
Yeah, I'm saying if you take the Shach's explanation here.
Right.
If you take the Shach's explanation here, that that it's because the Kli itself can't become Hanan, then that would only work for metal and wood, not for cheres. However, we happen to think, we say it would work even for cheres, because we reject that Rava, based on the one guy. Okay, so that's about it for Simon Kuf Zayin. If there's any other questions. Again, the Shach here gets in some details, but not don't really change the basic idea. Okay, then we'll go back to our Chazara. And Meretz Hashem again, remember the Bechina is a week from Thursday. And the first shear will be the will be